Translation: the sage Sukadeva Goswami sat perfectly pacified, intelligent and ready to answer any question without hesitation. The great devotee Maharaj Parikshit approached him, offered his respects, and by bowing before him and politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. Purport by Sivanga C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and Srila Prabhupada. The gesture now adopted by Maharaj Parikshit of questioning a master is quite befitting in terms of scriptural injunctions. The scriptural injunction is that one should humbly approach a spiritual master to understand the transcendental science. Maharaj Parikshit was now prepared for meeting his death, and within the very short time of 7 days, he was to know the process of entering the kingdom of God. In such important cases, one is required to approach a spiritual master. There is no necessity of approaching a spiritual master unless one is in need of solving the problems of life. One who does not know how to put questions before the spiritual master has no business seeing him. And the qualification of the spiritual master is perfectly manifested in the person of Sukadeva Goswami. Both the spiritual master and the disciple, namely Sri Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, attained perfection through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami learned Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, Vyasadeva, but he had no chance to recite it. Before Maharaj Parikshit, he recited Srimad Bhagavatam and answered the questions of Maharaj Parikshit unhesitatingly, and thus both the master and the disciple got salvation. And the purport. Om Agyanam Tarandasyagyanam Svathaya Chakshurumajam Yam Tathasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shundavari Paschat Chatta Satharini Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garada Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, the sage Sri Sukadeva Goswami sat perfectly pacified, intelligent and ready to answer any question without hesitation. The great devotee Maharaj Parikshit approached him, offered his respects by bowing before him and politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. So this is the way that one, ideal way that one approaches the spiritual master for spiritual knowledge with submission, as Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita also, with submission and service. Service must be there, otherwise the Not necessarily service, personal service to the spiritual master. The etiquette or the approach is one is approaching submissively. Actually, one wants to learn, one wants to hear. One is experienced problems in life and wants to know how to be free from the problems. This is the beginning of the spiritual life. One has faith in that there's faith in God. So he's approaching somebody because he's understood that life is actually troublesome. And so the way to do it is inquisitive, sincere inquiry and submission. And the seva means that one will follow the instruction. Otherwise, what is the use of getting instructions, Prabhupada said? Instructions are to be followed, not just to be heard. Otherwise you don't get the full benefit. Matures in the execution of the instructions, the words. Because the instructions will be, will be devotional service, to engage in devotional service. But if we just hear what to do and how to do, but we don't actually do it, then what will we gain? Just knowledge of the process of devotional service, but we won't get the fruit, we won't get the actual taste, we won't be able to actually perceive the spirituality in that. It'll just be knowledge. So, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, if you don't, and also the question should be pertinent. Srila Prabhupada mentions, one who does not know how to put questions before the spiritual master has no business seeing him. Means you've got to be serious. You have to be. The mood has to be there for the flow of knowledge and the effect to take place. That one actually has to want to understand. So that seriousness should be there. You're asking, yes, you want to know. It's not that you just want to ask questions to exercise your knowledge of how much you know of everything. You know, just some people speak like that, right? One time Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and one man, he asked for questions, and one man raised his hand, and he was saying about this and about that, and he was going all around the universe, and he was saying everything, and 5 minutes was going on and on, and then he finished, and Srila Prabhupada said, "I don't know. Any other question?" Of course, says here, Sukadeva says, "There's nothing. He has no. He doesn't know." But and that was recognized by the sages that he was a fit person to speak just by his very presence, so he could understand. Already he was attracted because all the local people, they were following him, the women, the children, having some fun with him. Because he was not an ordinary person, right? He wasn't extending, as they say, his circle of influence. He didn't want to influence anyone like we all do. All the time we're trying to extend that our influence to everyone we meet, and everyone's doing it. Everyone, even the little kids, they do. It means you want to impress people. You want to be noticed. You want them to notice of our. We want to be the center. In other words, that's the material disease, the original disease that we have. We want to be the center, and we forget Krishna is actually the center. So we try to take that position. So it goes on in all spheres of life. You're presenting your potency, trying to extend your potency to be recognized as the. As a greatest. But here's Sukadeva wasn't doing that. He was disinterested. Beautiful body. Yes, he traveled all over the world disinterested and satisfied within himself. I mean, he wasn't looking for anything like us. Right? You're always looking for something, someone. Right? As soon as Tulsiarati's finished, Mangalarati finished the lights, come on, you look around, see who's new, who's come, who's there for. What can you gain from somebody? Right? Who's new in. It's like that. But here, Sukadeva is completely indifferent to the. What's going on in this world? Who's who? It doesn't matter to him because he's satisfied. He's got what everyone else is searching for. Of course, nobody really knows what they're searching for. They say peace, love, whatever, but they don't actually know what it is. It's Krishna. It's the relationship with Krishna that they're searching for, because that relationship is not there. Therefore, automatically we're dissatisfied. We're not completely satisfied. And so then we're blaming it on the material events. Heat, cold, this happiness, distress, and different relationships when they get in contact with the senses and their objects, causing us these And we're trying to we think that's the main thing. Now, let me overcome all of these problems. And then I'll be satisfied. That's why I'm not happy, because material nature won't let me be satisfied for very long. It's always presenting problems in adhyatmika, adidevik, adibhautik, different ways through other living entities, through my own body and mind, through the nature. If I can only overcome these, then I'll be actually... But it's not that. It's not that. Even if one attains that, they're not actually really peaceful. Well, not, they may be peaceful, they're not satisfied. How can it be peaceful if there's no relationship with the eternal servants of Krishna? We have a relationship with that, with the wonderful personality, who's full of all the good qualities, full of all rasas. That's what we're actually missing. So you'll not find that, even in the stage of liberation, you'll not find that. So you won't be satisfied, completely satisfied, even in the stage of Kevala Mukti. Sukadeva was self-realized also, but he had the ashram of Krishna. He saw Krishna in the womb, so he was always attracted to that form. But we hear, but he was attracted, he was wandering disinterested over the world, but then we heard somebody gave a class some time ago that he left that, he didn't even want to leave the womb. And according to the Bhagavatam, it's very uncomfortable. Of course, the consciousness is so dull at that time. Otherwise you die with the in childbirth. You won't be able to stand that pain, the child. But because the consciousness is so dull, then he doesn't die. But it says in the womb the child is actually, if he's fortunate, he sees darshan of the Lord. And he remembers also he remembers something of his position, and he's praying, please get me out of this whole position, condition. Packed up, Prabhupada said, in an airtight bag, being being bitten by little microbes within the body, suffering. And he's praying for a quick death or a quick easy delivery, one or the other. Get me out of this. Sukadev, 16 years, he didn't want to. He said, I'm not coming out. I'll fall in mind if I come out. It's very powerful. He understood. He heard. He heard Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is describing also about how the material energy works. How powerful is that energy, Krishna's prime energy in the material world. How powerful it is. So attractive. As we well know, the drawing potency, the deluding potency. We can't be disinterested. We can't walk around like that disinterested. Very difficult. When you first come to Mayapur, it's like a holiday. You've left your service, or you've taken a holiday from your work, from your job, and you come here, and then it's great. And you have no responsibilities. Just walk around and enjoy the atmosphere and the holy Dao. So it's something like that. There's no responsibility. But it says when you visit holy places, it's advised to stay 3 days. These are ordinary people. Because after 3 days, a tendency for material sense gratification will come up again. And then it will be apparat in the Dham. So therefore, you're advised to stay 3 days in the place of pilgrimage. It's not concerning the Vaishnavas, of course. But that tendency, as soon as everything's all right, it's the same thing. As soon as everything's all right, now begins the real purpose of life, the real business, how to enjoy it, the rasa. So you got your vacation. You come here and no responsibility. But now, what are you going to do to how to enjoy? That's the next step. So that's where devotional service begins. Pure devotional service begins from that point, and can come steadily from that point. After the point of liberation, he realizes it's actually not satisfying. It's actually not complete. even that was admitted by the greatest stalwart Mayavadi Prakash Ananda Saraswati in Banaras. He was the leader there, and Banaras is the seat of Mayavadis. Especially at that time, still is. And so he was a leader amongst them all. And they told Lord Chaitanya, after he revealed his little of his opulence to them, that we all self-realized souls here, all us sannyasis. And he said, we call each other Narayan. He said, but we see you are Narayan. We're just talking Narayan. The more Narayan. He said, but we see you're actually Narayan. Mahaprabhu would let out his effulgence. And so you speak. He said, no, I can't. I'm a low class sannyasi. I'm not a higher, not a high caste, like I'm not a Saraswata. I'm a Bharati, initiated by Kesha Bharati. And no. We know you're just showing your humility. You please, whatever you say, we'll accept. Just by it's like here, the physiognomy, what is it? The sages could understand that Sukadev, just by his being, just by his bodily attributes, bodily qualities, they could understand is a Mahapurush. He's a great body, a great personality. Then the women and children, then they stopped. They couldn't come anymore. They realized, that was what attractive about him. But the sages, they saw that the attractiveness was his purity of heart. But also the body was, bodily features are perfect. And then they all stood up and gave him that great respect. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had wonderful bodily features, attractive bodily features. And that was his personal beauty, was one of his weapons, that he was able to disarm agnostics or otherwise indifferent people. And like this, he uses to unhinge the Mayavadis. So they say, we'll accept whatever you say. So then he explained to them philosophy, Chintavidavita, Tattva, etc. And that ultimately it is the jiva's service to the Lord is the ultimate resting place. And they agreed. And he said, was it Prabodhananda Saraswati or Apakashananda? Apakashananda. He said, he said, you're right. He said that, he said, we've always felt there's something lacking. Even though we're self-realized souls, we felt there's something lacking. So there, he was the greatest of the self-realized souls in Benares at that time. But we couldn't put our finger on it because there's nothing in our philosophy. Our philosophy stops there. When you've attained that oneness, that's it. There's nothing beyond that. But still, it was like a space. They couldn't understand what it was. It was still they still weren't feeling actually complete. And they said, now you pointed it out, now we can see. So they frankly admitted that, and then he became a great devotee. Immediately they become practically pure devotees, almost. Even though their philosophy is one of envy, if they actually attain the platform of self-realization, then they take the devotional service. Because it's like the Sahajiyas, although they're actually envious of Krishna also, because they're trying to take the position of the enjoyer, generally. But he said, if by chance they meet a pure devotee, because they know all about Krishna's pastimes, they know all about everything about Krishna. But if they meet a pure devotee and their bhava becomes right, they becomes properly situated, immediately they become very advanced devotees. As soon as the consciousness changes. So for the Mayavadis, they simply have to learn the process of devotional service. Already they have the self-realization. Just like we take the process, we're not self-realized. By following the process, that brings that all the anarthas go away and it leaves self-realization. Well, they'll start from the other end. The yoga process is to become self-realized by practice. Then, when I'm self-realized, then I can approach the Supreme. We have a different process. But if they don't achieve the goal, then what do they get? So what's the use? They don't get devotional service. They don't get the result of their fruit of the. It's just wasted the trouble that it took to. That's the only fruit they get. So there will be no need to. He says, what is the use? What is the use of all this practice? Study, practice, penance, etc. If you don't get Krishna, and if you got Krishna, what is the use of all these study, practices, and penance? different poles, no? But the goal is one. If they come into contact with a pure devotee and they take the devotional service, then it's actually one. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that you shouldn't think these are different. He's got the goal of karma, gyan, yoga, they're one. Same as bhakti. The goal. When they achieve perfection, what do they do? Vasudeva Sarvamiti, then they surrender to Vasudeva Krishna serving, and that means devotional service. Whereas in the process of bhakti, you start from the very beginning, but they start at the very end when they actually realize. But in the beginning, we start with faith. And then the realization will come as we practice. That's the difference. But if we don't achieve the ultimate end, we don't achieve prema, there's no loss. Because our process is hearing, chanting, remembering, serving Krishna. So we get all that sukriti will be there. But if it was karma or jnana or yoga, that would all practically be lost. We just get a good material result, a better birth, etc. But so this process of bhakti is the most superior part. Krishna says there's no loss or diminution. So Sukadeva's approach, just at the right time, just as Maharaj Pariksit asked the question, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? All you respectable sages, honest, I'll accept whatever you say. Of course, there was differences of opinion. Just at that moment, we can say it's too much of a coincidence to be a coincidence. Actually, there's no such thing as chance in the material world. But here in spiritual life, there's chance, there's luck. So in other words, the Lord's arrangement that Sukadeva arrives just at that time, and immediately he's offered all, immediately just by seeing him, everyone was saying he's the one to speak. He's completely self-satisfied, completely disinterested in the world. Someone was saying in the previous class that when Sukadeva left, after he did come out of the womb on assurance of Krishna that he wouldn't be affected by Maya, he was so scared of Maya that he would prefer to stay in that horrible condition in the womb 16 years. That's conviction, eh? I mean, Prabhupada said, our disease is we're not scared of Maya. You're not frightened of Maya. So once you have a very healthy fear of Maya, it's very, very attractive. I mean, we're in Maya, we're all in Maya. It's so attractive, none of us want to really let it go. With our intelligence we do, but with our minds we don't. We're not willing to do it. Otherwise we will be pure devotees. We know the process. We know what's keeping us here, and we know the process, and we know the goal, but why don't we do it? We don't want to. I like it, Prabhupada said. Say, I like it, what can you do? Three words, I like it. The mind says, I like it. Then you gotta battle with the intelligence. Intelligence doesn't always win. It's a mind that's leading us all around the universe. It's a mind that is, we're doing all the experiencing in. It's a mind that is feeling pleasures and pains and all these experiences. So, according to the mind, business is accepting and rejecting on experience. I like this and I don't like that. Whereas the intelligence will discriminate and tell which is actually the best thing. But if the mind thinks it's troublesome by experience, then he's reluctant to do it. And if the mind finds it pleasurable, then he'll be happy to do it. Whereas intelligence is saying it's not conducive for spiritual life. Difficult to convince the mind, because the mind is the one that's experiencing the happiness. And so therefore, that struggle goes on with the mind and intelligence in the intermediate stage. So this is the beginning of when one is actually serious, one actually understands this material world is actually a troublesome place. That's only the human beings can do this. And amongst the human beings, hardly any of them do it anyway. So it's very rare that actually one inquires. So you can count yourselves as one in millions. Out of millions, billions of living entities, but in millions. Especially in Kali Yuga. It's so rare. And how has that come about? We simply heard. It's simply by the mercy of a devotee that we're here. It's the same thing. Devotees wander around, pure devotees, without any personal ambition. Simply for the out of compassion or out of duty to their predecessors and Krishna, and love of Krishna, that they want to give Krishna to the conditioned souls and then terminate their material suffering in the material world. So therefore we go, and then we... But it must be done seriously. One must be serious, Prabhupada said, unless you're... Until you understand the urgency of Krishna consciousness, you won't be serious. I mean, if you think life's not so bad, then you're not going to be so serious about spiritual life, because you don't have great love of Krishna. So if you don't have... If that attraction, great attraction for Krishna, is not there, then you've got to be pushed. So that's what Maya does. You've got to be pushed, forced towards Krishna. So that's Maya's job, is to force us towards Krishna, to attract us and then slap us, and then attract us and slap us, till we keep burning our fingers, and we realize, oh, this is not a good proposition. Let's go to Krishna. But there's no attraction. But there's attraction for Maya. That's the problem. through experience and by learning and training, we come to understand that Maya is a waste of time. We're just exhibiting our foolishness. So this is the condition, the nature of the soul is foolish, insignificant in this world, and just making an ass of himself, trying to achieve something that is impossible. In other words, trying to control and enjoy in the material energy, which is not possible for the jiva. It has nothing to do with the material world. But you're projecting, false ego is projected like that. And Maya is also presenting, you can. Don't worry, you can. You're special. You can enjoy and control me. Somehow, yeah. You just play your cards right. So we're thinking of all ways and means how to control, how to be comfortable. Then we can start to actually enjoy Maya, which she's presenting. So it's formidable. You're not going to overcome Maya. How are you going to do it? You have to neglect Maya and turn to Krishna. There's no other alternative. You cannot control Maya. It's not a question. It's out of the question. So you want to get out of Maya. Then you have to approach somebody. You have to realize that you're suffering here. You have to realize you're a donkey, making a fool of yourself. So therefore, the more you realize, then the more serious you're going to be. Then the more pertinent your questions will be. That you actually want an answer. I'm not asking the question to impress everyone else. How much I know. Or sometimes I would do. I think when Prabhupada comes, I'm gonna think of a really good question so he'll notice me. But by his presence, the whole atmosphere would change. And those questions were so stupid. They were my best questions to attract his attention. Those questions were so stupid when Prabhupada came that I was scared to answer them. Ask them. So that's what happens when the great personality comes. The whole atmosphere actually changes, as we've experienced. But also heavy. Sri Prabhupada was also heavy sometimes in this matter. One time in this room here in the Lotus Building, then all the devotees used to take darshan every night. He stayed here sometimes, quite a long time one time, some months. So every night we'd take darshan, 5 o'clock, for an hour for arati. So one day everyone was up, all the leading devotees, sannyasis, and so we got there and said it was the highlight of the day. We got there and finished your service and got there and sit down and just take darshan and listen to Prabhupada talking. And so he's asking, this day was particularly heavy in the room atmosphere, so Prabhupada saw, are there any questions? And it came even more heavy. Dick the air with sticks, and nobody asked any questions, you know, you ask a dumb question. He said, why there are no questions? It got even more heavy. He said, it's a duty of the disciple to question the spiritual master. Why are you not asking questions? Even more heavy. And someone did it. They asked a dumb question. Srila Prabhupada, in the Bhagavatam, he says such and such. Prabhupada says, you fool. Says in the Bhagavatam, you ask me if it's right? Then here Dhyananda Maharaj broke the ice and asked a pertinent question. Came asking. So, but that he mentioned, like, what is the duty of the disciple to ask? Well, they have to be pertinent, not just, you know, just for conversation's sake. Of course, if the mood's relaxed, sometimes Prabhupada would talk about ordinary, so-called ordinary things. But when it's time for this, then you see how everything, the whole atmosphere became very peaceful. So you can imagine that all those sages sitting there, and everyone was hearing. There was hundreds, no mic. So you can imagine that probably the birds stopped singing, and there's, you know, the leaves stopped rustling, and, you know, the atmosphere was very congenial. You can imagine what a transcendental atmosphere it was there. But it says like the moon. He was Sukadeva was gorgeous. He was gorgeous sitting there, like the moon surrounded by the stars. You can just imagine the transcendental atmosphere, and in that atmosphere, then there was the proper flow of knowledge, because Sukadeva was really sincere, as we would be if we had 7 days to live. I mean, he was super sincere. He wasn't going to waste any time, not even eating or sleeping. And Sukadeva was so happy, he's going to be able to repeat the Bhagavatam he'd heard before. That was his source of happiness. Otherwise, he was disinterested in anything else in the material world. But that was a source of pleasure. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge, because it's only talking about pure devotional service. Some stories are indirect, but ultimately it's only pure devotional service unto Lord Sri Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sagopad ki jai, Tango Pramandi Hari. Thank you. Your attention. Any comments? Okay.
Which explains should our relationship to Krishna be developed in order that Krishna can accept us? These days we hear a lot that we can't go back to the original relationship. To which extent it should be developed?
Which? Sorry?
To which extent should our relationship to Krishna be developed here that Krishna can accept us?
Can't go back without, unless you develop your relationship with Krishna, to which degree should our relationship be developed? Firm, of course. Well, you've got to come to the platform of Ashakti, which is past self-realization, and Ruchi. So I don't know if you're going to do it in this lifetime. That's the stage of Shanti, that your mind is controlled. I don't think I can do it in this lifetime. But then you're guaranteed, once your relationship is established with Krishna, you've got to be on the Sudha-Sattva platform to establish your relationship with Krishna, because he's Sudha-Sattva. So you've got to be purified, spiritualized. You've got to be self-realized on that platform. So that's if that's what you want. If you want prema, then you'll probably have to take birth in a family of pure devotees in your next life. But if you want to go back to Godhead, then you follow the instructions of your spiritual master sincerely. Huh? That sincerely following instructions, that is liberation. That's actually liberation, imperceptible liberation. But it means you're following, because we're fools, we just accept, we don't know what spirit is. We just accept the words of the spiritual master, the sadhu, and we follow them, without question. For it's a process of devotional service, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, etc., which we've heard. After you've had a little experience, you've heard that you're not going to improve on this process. This process is given by Krishna himself to Rupa Goswami. So he's given the process of devotional service. You simply have to apply that. Huh? And give up those four sinful activities, which will keep you attached to the material world. It will make your progress very slow if you don't give up those four things. Because that's what we're finding taste in the material world. And then you simply have to follow. Then it's a question of sincerity. You simply have to apply yourself to the process. It's no question of, what is your question of relationship with Krishna? And then Krishna is. You just heard about, read about, seen picture of, seen the deity of. It's only faith that we're running on. We just believe. We believe Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because we've heard from the sadhus, we've heard from the scriptures. We believe the deity is not different from him. We believe Mahavishnu is not different from him. We believe his holy name is not different from him. We had no experience of it. So it's only faith. So how can we talk about a relationship with Krishna? Except the Das Das and the Das, that is Mahaprabhu's essential teachings of all our philosophy is found in the Shishastikam. There, one should be humble, and very humble. If you're insignificant, what have you got to show? What have you got to be proud of? If you're an insignificant ass in the material world, what have you got to be proud of? So humility should be is a natural characteristic of knowledge or advanced knowledge. You understand what your actual position is. You're fools, aren't we? We're trying to increase our circle of influence in the material world. In other words, we're trying to stay in the material world. We're embracing Maya, which is blocking our from embracing the spiritual atmosphere. Embracing Krishna. That's what you're doing. But there's pleasure there, but Krishna's also saying, come. Come. he's freely giving. To Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, he's freely giving. But it will not take. I mean, it will take to some degree, but it will not take full. Therefore, Krishna has you reciprocate. He reciprocates accordingly. How much you give, he'll give. It means how much you let go of Maya, then you can have that much more of Krishna. So, therefore, the liminality is foolish. We are foolish. We know what to do and we don't do it. Some Burujan Prabhupada was saying, we're knowingly drinking poison. We know it's wrong, still we do. That's an ass. That's foolish. And then we talk about how am I going to get love of Krishna. First, do what you can do. First, say no to Maya. Work with something you know about. You know how you're attached to Maya. You know how attractive Maya is, or how repulsive Maya is also. We don't know Krishna. We're self-realized as far as Maya is concerned. We're not self-realized as far as Krishna is concerned. So we have good experience of Maya. That you can say no to Maya. You can do that. But you can't just say yes to Krishna. Because he's a person.
Right?
We are self-realized. Oh, yeah. At least I like it. I like mine. Right? Emotions, friendship, romance, only taste, touch sensations, smells, nice. Of course, we dovetail it. Then it's permissible. But even we're used to not dovetailing it. So that's the art is how to dovetail it now. So what does this develop our relationship with Krishna? We don't have a relationship with Krishna. We've forgotten that. It's been withdrawn. Krishna's withdrawn it because of our rebellion, because of our independent streak that we want to do we want to take his position. So he takes away that. So as soon as we give up that idea of taking his position, then he'll immediately give remembrance back. So that's the problem. You're trying to take his position. That means envy. Let Krishna be the enjoyer. He is the enjoyer. Admit it. He's the enjoyer. Krishna, you're the enjoyer. I'm not. You're the controller. You're the enjoyer. I'm not. Why I should try to control your energy? I can't. I'm a fool to try to control Maya Devi. She's yours. She's appointed by you to control this whole cosmic manifestation. I think I can control. I can move the energy and be peaceful. I'm a fool. And then I'm trying to enjoy your energy. How can I enjoy your energy? I'm a fool. So give up those things. That's Krishna's position. He controls and he enjoys. But he has the real, the front side of Maya, not the reflection of Maya. He enjoys with Yoga Maya and other potencies. So this is a position. So what is your relationship with Krishna? How can you find that relationship with Krishna? But either you qualified, you come to the platform of self-realization, then you can probably take birth in the family of pure Vaishnavas, and then you can probably develop love of Krishna after some births. But if you simply accept the orders of the spiritual, this is spiritual life, and just do it. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, just chant Hare Krishna, do nothing else. Nothing else. Just chant Hare Krishna. Listen to it. Listen, that name is not different from Krishna. And one day that name it will be revealed to me. There's no need to think of so many other things. And when you're doing service, you're doing that service for Krishna. There's no need for anything else. Huh? What you relate to wonder what your relationship, how he's going to, it's not necessary. You can do it, but it's not. You know, Krishna's involved somewhere. It's indirectly. You're thinking of Krishna, so it's okay. But it's better to be just absorbed in that service. Because you're absorbed in the service, that's what's wanted. Because that service is not different from Krishna. Because that service is given by Krishna to the acharyas. So you're contacting Krishna, you're absorbed in Krishna. That's purifying. But if you're thinking, oh, this is, if you're analyzing the situation or thinking other things, then also it's Krishna, but it's not so direct. It won't be so quick. Because you're bringing your mind in and you're doing all kinds of other things. You just come absorbed, that's all you can do. How can you can't understand until it's revealed to you, your relationship. So that your relationship is your eternal servant of Krishna. Eternal servant, that Gopi Bharatula Kamalai Das Das and Das. You're the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the Gopis, Krishna. That's your identity. What your rasa is, you're not going to know until the time, until it's revealed to you. I mean, you're not going to feel it until it's revealed to you. So you don't worry about that. There's nothing you can do about that. You have to wait for that. And if it works. Huh? And by doing that, then the guru is pleased, the Vaishnavas are pleased at how sincerely they're absorbed in devotional service. Accepting the order of spiritual master and just following without any hesitation. That from the heart of that devotee, he's so pleased, and Krishna's pleased, because Krishna's in the heart of the pure devotee. Then he's pleasing my devotee. I'm trying to serve my devotee. My devotee's 24 hours engaged in serving me. He doesn't give me a chance. He's serving my devotee. He's better than me. Let me give assistance. So that this, then Krishna will manifest in the devotee's heart by the mercy of the other devotees, by their pleasure. Because you followed, you simply have to follow. There's only one method for everyone. You simply follow sincerely. It's not two different things. In our mind, as far as we're concerned, you just learn the process of devotional service as given by Rupa Goswami and Charis, and then do it sincerely. There's nothing else you can do. And when they're pleased with your sincerity, that you actually do it, you're actually following. Huh? So you've got to do it. First do that. That's what you can do. First try and do that. It's not so easy. Because you're distracted, we're distracted by mind. We're asses trying to absorb our minds in something spiritual. It's not an easy task. But try to do it. That's what you can do. And don't worry about all the other things. There's a gift anyway. So if you want prema in this lifetime, you can take birth, a few more births in family of Vaishnavas. If you want to go back to Godhead by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and Prabhupada's mercy, you can go back in this lifetime without waiting for prema. You'll get that in your next birth in Bhumi Vrindavan. You'll take birth there by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. What does it mean, Mahavaranaya? He's Mahavaranaya because he's given freely Krishna prema. Freely means you're not qualified, right? Freely means you can't pay for it. You can't become qualified in Kali Yuga. So he's given it freely. So take that. So what is that? He's told Rupa Goswami what that is. How do you get it? Rupa Goswami is telling us. And the Acharyas are telling us. So just do that. So it's not a big thing. It's not a mystical thing. Just do what you're supposed to do. And then you go back to God in one lifetime. Charya promised. Prabhupada said so many times. You got a burning question, right? Is that okay? Did Prabhupada go back to Godhead and then come back down again? And? Because he wanted to preach to everyone. He wanted to please Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to finish his mission. He left some for you. I heard Prabhupada said, When Krishna asked him to come down, he said that I can't go down there. I can't be like the Goswamis, living under trees and eating that much buttermilk every day. Krishna said, don't worry, I'll look after you. He said, no, he's given me thousands of children and so much opulence. I heard that story from somewhere. Huh? How do I know? You have to have someone who lives up there if he went back there and came back. But I don't think he has any problem in going back if he wants, if Krishna wants. And next birth, I'm going to be where Krishna's appearing on the Bhumi Vrindavan. That's my wish. I'm going to chant 16 rounds every day and follow the four rigid principles. And when I leave my body, Prabhupada, you said I'd go back to God if I chanted 16 rounds and followed four rigid principles. I gave Mahaprasad to the little girls. You promised. I tell you, promise. Pure devotee can do, you see. But by yourself, what can you do? You're dependent on the mercy of the devotees. The whole thing is mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is mercy. So accept that mercy. Why not? If Lord Chaitanya is empowering his devotees, Lord Chaitanya is giving Krishna prema to anyone who is unqualified, why can't his servants also be part of it? You can say, well, Prabhupada was just saying that to encourage you to follow. Why say that? Why say that? Why not accept what Prabhupada said? You follow your chant 16 rounds, follow the four rigid principles, you go back to God in one lifetime. Why not? Why talk about it and debate whether it's this way or that way? That's what he said. He said. What's better, to live this life thinking at the end of life, if I follow strictly, I'll go back to Godhead? Or I'm never going to go back to Godhead from a million births. I think you'd be happier in this life if you had a positive. Anyway, because you know it's the last life. You wouldn't be so attached to it as the last time. It wouldn't be such a big thing anymore, life. But again, another million births coming back is oh my God, worms. get through the day. Somehow rather get through the day and. Another day today, wake up, oh my God. Yeah. It's the last life, just like Pariksha, 7 days, is very enthusiastic. If you should wake up in the morning and think, today's like my last day, if you want to advance spiritually. if you want to enjoy the material world, you think, I'm never going to die. But if you want spiritual life, you think, today's my last day. Then you're going to be enthusiastic all day, right? You're going to be enthusiastic about devotional service, about telling others about Krishna, about everything. The last time. It's the last time you're going to do it. And it is your last day. Is it not? Who can say it's not the last day to do it? Who can say? Maybe. One day it will be. Why not today? Who can say it's not? So let's all act like this is the last day. Right? There'll be no time for politics, no time for fault finding, no time for criticism. Right? You wouldn't sleep so much. You got a few hours left when you're asleep. No, sleep, you're kidding.
If it's my last day, I'm going to the plate of Shinya Lake, and very slowly.
But it doesn't mean you can steal all the maha, because it's your last day and they want to catch you tomorrow. Alright? Hey. You're just like my picture, asking all these pertinent questions. You want to go back this time? Next time?